Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the skipper of the LSU baseball team, Jay Johnson. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Coach. Thanks for joining us. Coach, I was thinking about this morning, knowing you were going to come on, and it reminded me of something. This probably was 1987 for me. I was a young pup in this business, so to speak. And Jim Finks, who was the general manager of the Saints at that time, was trying to build the Saints up, and he did a really good job getting him first winning season into the playoffs and stuff. But he had built the Vikings of the late 60s and 70s, and he had built the Bears of the 80s. And he made this comment to me. He was like, you know, in the spot I'm in, this is like taking a picture – in the same spot every year and knowing the pitch is not going to come out the same. And it reminded me of kind of what's happening, you know, because of so much change. Jim would have a fit today with every all the movement in free agency. That was even before free agency in the NFL. But that's what college baseball is too today. You can take the same snapshot of the same time every year, and it's a different look.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, I get asked often, like, you know, what's it like after you win the national championship? Well, the first thing that happens is you send a lot of players to professional baseball. And last year, no different, nine juniors, you know, guys that had eligibility left, you know, went on to start their pro career as they should have. And we had a good nucleus returning and part of this team. And some guys in new roles and stepping up and finding themselves in those roles. And, you know, they just need to keep improving, keep playing better. You know, at most places when you win twice as many as you lose, you feel great about it. Here, not so much. And we just got to keep, keep positive, keep developing, and, got another tough opponent this weekend. So got to get ready for Kentucky.
Coach, working hard. Okay, I don't want to sound like the old man anymore, but it is true. Hey, you know when you get better? When you work harder. And I think that applies also to coaching and teaching, that, you know, you continue to work at your craft and things will work out for you.
Yeah, no doubt. And we got good kids, good players. They've had success and just got to keep at it. You know, we play in the best league in America. It's probably that way in all sports. It's definitely that way in baseball. And, you know, it's like looking at the standings the other day, it's like, you know, nope, we're 2 weeks in and there's no team that has zero or one losses. You know, it's a bloodbath. And, you know, it was at Vanderbilt, it was Oklahoma this week, you got Kentucky. Next week you go to Tennessee. After that, you're at Ole Miss. It doesn't really slow down a lot. So just got to get engaged in the fight, you know, stay in it, be a little better in those close games. And then, you know, like I said, we got our season in front of us and looking forward to this, the rest of SEC play.
This was no surprise. Last year, I know you'd come on with us so many times and talked about your defense and that what wins. Everybody has a certain formula to win. And sometimes, you know, you got great bats, but maybe the defense isn't there. The pitching isn't all there. Last year, two fantastic starters for you. But your defense was so good. And that still is a work in progress for the 2026 LSU baseball team.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, the best defense in the history of this great program, last year's team, in terms of fielding percentage. And this year, still working through some of that, you know, mainly in the infield at second base and third base. You know, we've been platooning, moving guys in and out. I have found when we've defended well, we've either won or, you know, been within a run or two. And, you know, we're going to need to do that this weekend because Kentucky does a good job of putting a lot of pressure on you.
Coach, I was going to ask you, give us a quick scouting report on the Wildcats. You know, they're not a team when you start to think of in college baseball, especially in the SEC. You don't necessarily think of Kentucky, but they've really improved that baseball program.
Well, yeah, I mean, we played them in the Super Regional in 23. They went to Omaha in 24.
Yeah.
They were in a regional final last year. So I certainly think about them. You know, I think you think basketball first. But Coach Mingione's one of the best coaches in the country. He's done a great job there. He's got them playing really, really good. And it'll be a challenge for us all weekend long.
I think Charlie has a question for you, Coach, maybe about pitching.
Well, first and foremost, actually, I wanted to get to MLB opening day, Coach, and we got an email earlier from our friend Bill Frankes talking about 11 former LSU players appearing on 2026 MLB opening day rosters, a couple that you were here with, Paul Skeens, obviously, and also Grant Taylor. Just, you know, getting that number the way it is, LSU baseball not just being a college power, but also getting these guys to the MLB, that's got to be a great sales pitch for you in recruiting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the kids growing up going to college now, Coach.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. That's what we want to be. You know, we're trying to go to Omaha, win the national title, but how do you get there? You get there by having future major league players on your roster and developing them. And, you know, it's been a fun couple days, obviously, seeing all these LSU guys. And just in the Giants-Yankees opener last night, three of my players for Arizona were in the game, two of them on the Giants and one of them on the Yankees. And so that's a big point of pride. We know what that looks like. We know how to help guys do it. And excited for the next wave of those guys to come through here and then do that.
And then, Coach, as Mike mentioned, I do have a pitching question. I wanted to ask you about Zach Cowan. I remember the Northeastern game, listening to your post-game press media availability, where you mentioned that he was kind of leaving the changeup a little bit too much over the plate. And the last two appearances since that game, where he goes to Vanderbilt, has an awesome performance, and then he goes – and I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle, right? Because that game against Vanderbilt, Cowan's performance really let you come back into that game. And I know that they walked it off at the end, but just the performance that he had after a slow start to the season and then kind of rebounding as well with another great performance against Oklahoma this past weekend, his emergence kind of as we enter SEC play has been a big part of kind of stabilizing that pitching staff.
Yeah, no doubt. When he pitches well, I mean, that was a big part of our formula for winning the national championship last year. And that gives us the best chance to be the best team that we can be this year. And happy for Zach to get going, proud of Zach. And we definitely need him to be good. And, you know, 2 weeks into SEC play, he really has.
Coach, we've had on a couple of different people, and early on with the entry to Chris Stanfield, and that's a concern because, man, I think the world of Chris. I think he's a hell of a player. Someone brings up to me about, man, you know, it might be a blessing in disguise, you know, for him to be out a little while. And I'm like, you know, man, listen, give me a puff of what you smoking, because that don't make any sense to me. Chris Stanfield is one hell of a player for you.
Yeah, no doubt. And another key piece, you know, I think he's one of those underrated reasons we won the 2025 national championship. And, you know, probably more important to this team than that team, to be honest with you, just with the dynamic of players that we have. He adds a lot to it. And he's a good leader. You know, his presence on top of his play, really, really valuable for us.
Coach, one of the things you've always been able to do and do really well is kind of tinker with the lineup a little bit to find the right combination. And you've done that this year numerous times with it. That to me is a big part of baseball, trying to find the right alignment, because you have so many moving pieces. And I could say that for any manager in the SEC or any other school in college baseball today. But finding the right combination is such a big key.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, having a balanced team, you know, both on offense and defense, and I think that's what made last year's team special, is, you know, you had good contributors on both sides of the ball. You know, when you talk about Dickinson and, you know, obviously Milam, who's still with us this year, like, they were contributing on both sides. And that's been a little more of the challenge to find, is the guy that can hold down, man their position, and continue to give us quality at bat. So that's what we need out of these guys going forward, and to get us going in a good direction.
You know, Coach, we're looking ahead to this upcoming weekend series against Kentucky. Cason Evans, after struggling in that opening weekend of SEC play against Vanderbilt, where maybe beforehand in non-conference play, the peripheral numbers were a little bit better than maybe the ERA would say. You know, he struggles against Vandy on the road, but then the matchup against Oklahoma, where he just mows down the Sooners over 7 2/3 innings pitch, striking out 15 batters. Talk about a great bounce back and really providing that ace stuff that got the weekend off to a good start. Your kind of expectation for him against Kentucky, a good Kentucky lineup, but coming off such a great performance, trying to keep it rolling in SEC play.
Yeah, he's one of the best pitchers in the country, and we're lucky to have him at LSU. We made a small adjustment to his preparation last week that I think paid big dividends, and then he took care of the rest. And it's one of those guys, like, you know, that's the last guy I worry about on our roster. You know, it's, you're not going to go through a season as a starting pitcher, I guess, unless you're Paul Skeens, who, you know, he gave up some runs today. So the best pitcher on the planet is not immune to it. So I'm proud of Kaysen. I think we're well positioned with him going on Fridays for us, and I'm looking forward to him to pitching great again tomorrow night.
Coach, we'll let you go. I know you're busy, but, everybody, Canella, she turned this around. I was like, let me tell you, if anybody can get it turned around, okay, it's Jay Johnson.
Yes, sir.
He's been there, done that before. And so it is a team effort, but I know you've been through these difficult times and trying to work out, and here's the worst part. Schedule don't get no easier.
No, but the good part is, you know, we need to collect some wins against some good teams, and so it's good RPI opportunity and all that type of stuff. And, you know, luckily for us, everybody we're playing over like the next 5 weeks is off to a 20-4 start. So the strength of schedule won't be a problem. Just got to go out there and play good baseball.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy when you come on. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks,
Coach. Thank you so much. Skipper of the LSU baseball team, Jay Johnson. And, again, I mean that. If anybody can get them cranked up, it's Coach Johnson. And then sometimes you throw the saddle on the horse, she don't ride like you thought.
You know, I don't even think I'll use this for my triple option today. Maybe Steve will, about the Paul Skeens comment at the end there. Mike, I sent you that play.
I
learned something today, by the way. Outfielders can't be charged with an error if they don't touch the ball. I think that's why O'Neal Cruz, who completely misplayed the ball in center field.
He whiffed that.
And I know that Paul Skeens loaded the bases in the first place, so there was that aspect to it. But if O'Neal Cruz makes a routine flyout, I think Paul Skeens' line looks way different in that game against the Mets. So tough start for the reigning Cy Young winner, and hopefully he can get it going. But I don't think it was all on him either. That was a terrible play in center field by O'Neal Cruz.
Come on, that multi-billionaire owner. Come on, dude, spend some money on players.
You just remember, like, the time when he was at the World Baseball Classic and watching Bobby Witt have, like, flash the glove, the gold glove, and making awesome defensive plays behind him, and how happy he was that when he makes a mistake pitch, he's got great defense behind him. Yeah, I don't think the Pirates really have that for him in Pittsburgh, unfortunately.
Nothing close to
it. Save Paul Skeens.
I know Doug Miller's out overseas right now, because he's one of the biggest Pittsburgh Pirate fans, but him and I have talked about this. Good gracious. Man, to think about what we grew up in watching the Pirates of the 70s, how good those teams were. And I'm old enough, I saw Roberto Clemente,
yeah,
just unbelievable player, Willie Stargell, and you can go on and on with that lineup, Manny Sanguian. One thing with Paul, he can't throw it, catch it, out in the outfield either. I mean, come on, you got to do your job. And totally misplayed that pop.
I don't even know if O'Neal Cruz should be in the outfield in the first place. I think he started at shortstop. So
I think he did.
What he's doing in center field, especially when he's misplaying routine fly balls like that really screw over his pitcher, that was rough to see earlier today, Mike.